Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Well, good morning, Canvas Church. How many of you guys excited to be here on this beautiful, sunny Sunday morning? Man, what a great day. Man, we're looking forward to an incredible time at camp this week with all the young people. My wife and I are involved with camp this year, and so I'm excited to be out there. And so we take off tomorrow morning. We're actually just at Point Loma Nazarene University this year, which is going to be awesome. And it's going to be a super hot week, and so we thought it's cool. We're going to be by the coast. That'll be awesome. And so that goes from Monday until Thursday. Then on Thursday afternoon, we are also sending a missions team down into Tijuana, Mexico, where we're going to be ministering, Ensenada, Mexico. We're going to be ministering to another 250 young ladies in Mexico. And so that is awesome. They're going to be doing a purity camp, or they're vowing themselves to purity until the day they get married. Because once you get married, man, come on, everything's good. And so check this out. We're going to be ministering to over 500 young people this week as Canvas Church. Come on, that is awesome. So thank you for making that a possibility. The reason I highlight that is because I want you to be praying this week. Let's just put a little thing in our planner or whatever and say, hey, this week I'm going to pray for the young people of Canvas Church, and they're going to this camp in Ensenada. So this is going to be a great week. Matter of fact, all the young people, you can go to your class right now if you haven't been dismissed yet. We got a great class planned for you, getting you ready for camp. But for all of us, turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to dive in to what's known as the Edenic Covenant today. We started a series a couple weeks ago entitled Covenants, in which we're looking at the major covenants of the Bible. And wow, are they pounding the wall on the way out? That is awesome. Man, they're already camp ready, man. They're going to be putting holes in dormitories and everything. That's great. Wow, pray for us. We just started this series a couple weeks ago, and here's my heart as we go into this thing even deeper, is that we would understand the Bible more clearly, and in understanding the Bible more clearly, that we would understand how much God loves us, and that we would understand the incredible purpose and plan he has for our life. Because that's what understanding covenant does. Because when you begin to understand covenant, you begin to understand that this is the way the Bible's written. The Bible is written in covenantal terms and in a covenantal way. It helps us understand what's known as the Old Testament, really known as the Old Covenant of Scripture, but then also the New Testament, the New Covenant of Scripture. When you can understand an idea of covenants as we begin to break it down over the summer, I believe when you crack open your Bible, man, you're going to read it in a whole new light, in a whole new way. Also, it's my prayer and my hope that, man, it just whets your appetite a little more for what you saw on the screen for our Canvas Leadership track. And so as we're going through covenants, if what you're hearing is like, man, I want to dive deeper into that. I want to know more about that. Man, your opportunity is coming up at the end of August, because one of the classes we'll be teaching at some point is a class called Covenants, in which we dive into this a little deeper and a little more thoroughly. But there are seven major covenants of Scripture, those being, number one, the Edenic Covenant, which we're going to cover in just a moment. Not obviously entirety and in depth, but the Edenic Covenant. The one that comes after that is the Adamic Covenant. And then following that one is the Noahic Covenant. This is the covenant God made with Noah. And then we're going to go cover the Abrahamic Covenant. And then we're going to jump into what's known as the Mosaic Covenant. And then another really great one is the covenant that God made with King David, known as the Davidic Covenant. And then we'll begin to wrap it all up with what is the new covenant, which is all found in Jesus. And here's what you need to understand about the Edenic Covenant. The Edenic Covenant is the covenant that God made with two people, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. And so the Edenic Covenant, as you see it, it's the reason called the Edenic Covenant. It's made in the Garden of Eden with two people, Adam and Eve. It's also known as the Universal Covenant because all humanity flows forth out of Adam and Eve. And therefore, this covenant that God establishes in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve is also established to all humanity. What we're going to see in this Edenic covenant is we're going to see God's original purpose and intent for his relationship with man. We're going to see that everything God establishes was established to sustain man. We're going to see that there's some contingencies on this covenant. All of this points to what we will know as the new covenant, which is found in Jesus Christ. What you also need to understand about this covenant is it's the only covenant in all of Scripture that is made in a perfect state, meaning that sin had not entered the earth at this point when this covenant was made. So what's so awesome about it is we see the original plan for man. And then what happens is man messes it up. We're good at that, aren't we? Yeah, and not just man. Come on, women. We're good at messing things up, all right? Right? Humanity's just good at messing things up. So what happens is this covenant is made in perfect state. God's saying, hey, here I am. I want relationship with you. Everything I put on the earth, man, it's all yours, and it's there to sustain you. There's just one thing I want you to do, which we'll read this morning. And then man blows it, right? And so what then happens is all of these other covenants that we'll talk about over the summer lead up to restoring the Edenic covenant, but it's known as the new covenant found in Jesus Christ. And so it just kind of like a ladder, we just step up and we begin to see him restoring his original purpose and his original plan for humanity. Right away, we're gonna see this, we're gonna see God's intent from the very beginning, and therefore it parallels the new covenant, which we'll talk about. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we're gonna jump around a little bit, but Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 1, and it reads, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, who? God. Yeah, I love that because, you know, the Bible wastes no time in pointing out who this whole thing is about. It's about him and his intent and his purpose for humanity. In the beginning, God. And what did he do? He created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths. You ever been in a place of darkness before? You ever been in a place of chaos in your life before? Yeah? Well, here it is. There's darkness, there's chaos, there's uncertainty, but I love this, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Amen. We'll get there. And I love verse 3, because verse 3 records the very first words that we know God ever spoke. You ready? It says, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Such a powerful thought, isn't it? Right in the very beginning, hey, it's all about me, God. And here's what I do, I create everything. And when there is chaos and disorder in something, I'm still there hovering over it, and then I bring order to it. So let there be light, and there was light. Now go with me to verse 26, that same chapter. Verse 26, same chapter, chapter 1. What happens between verse 3 and verse 26 is God creates all of the things that would inhabit the earth. And all of those things that inhabit the earth lead up to verse 26 and are there for the sole purpose to sustain humanity. In other words, everything God creates between verse 3 and 26, it's there for us to sustain us. And then verse 26, and it reads, then God said, let us. In my Bible, that's a capital U. What is it in yours? Some of you are like, well, I don't have mine. I'm looking at the screen. Well, it better be capitalized. Let us. Who is the us? I mean, God's not schizophrenic, right? He's not hearing voices in his head. Here's the us in Scripture. It is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're up in heaven having a powwow. And they're thinking about what they're going to do and how awesome it's going to be. And they just said, let there be light. And there was light. And they just said, hey, let's fill it with this. Hey, I got a really good idea. Let's do this. Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, create man. In our image, according to our likeness, here's what they're gonna do. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. And God blessed them. Now I love verse 28. Because whereas in the verses before, verse 3, we see the very first words God spoke, at least that we have recorded. Now we see the very first words God spoke to humanity. And once again, it reveals his heart towards us, and it reveals his intention toward us. Verse 28, God blessed them, and God said to them. Can you imagine being there, created, and the very first words you hear from God are this? Be fruitful, multiply, fill the whole earth, and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, every creature that crawls on the earth. God also said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant on the surface of the entire earth, and every tree whose fruit contains seed. This food will be for you. The very first word God spoke to humanity, hey, I'm blessing you. And you know what? Everything I've created up until this point, it's all yours. Go play, go have fun, rule over it, subdue it. That's pretty awesome. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty jacked up about that. Like, this is ours, this is mine. Like, wow, this is the best playground ever. Come on, somebody. And then let's jump to chapter 2, because we need to see the fullness of this thing, because this is a covenant now that God is making with humanity. Chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to watch over it because it's his. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree of the garden. But, verse 17, okay? Here now becomes the contingency of all of the blessings, of all of the promises, of all of him being God over your life and shedding light on the chaotic moments and situations that you would encounter. Here is one thing. Here is the contingency of the covenant. Here is the contingency on him doing all of that and you walking with a blessed life. Are you with me? But, verse 17, you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For on the day you eat from it, you will certainly die. Now, I'm a good God. I got good plans for you. I got a great purpose. Don't worry about the chaos in your life. I'm hovering over it. I got that under control. I can speak light into it at any moment. Everything that is before you, I've given to you. Everything you need for life and godliness, it's found in me. And I'm going to bless you, and you're going to multiply. You're going to be fruitful. You're going to fill the whole earth. But here's one thing. Don't eat from that tree. The story goes on, and guess what? Man blew it, right? They eat from the tree. And therefore, we then see every covenant thereafter leading back to God's original purpose and intent for man to rule, be fruitful, and subdue. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. God, I pray that in the next few moments that we have together, that Lord, you would speak to us and it'd be clear, it'd be concise. God, I pray that everything we talk about through this summer and even in this message this morning, that it would reveal the purpose of your son, Jesus, and that we would encounter that. And that today, as we understand covenants, we would understand the love, the immense, incredible love that you have for us, so that ultimately we could fulfill the amazing plan that you have for our life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Anybody in here have kids? Raise your hand if you got kids. Yeah, all right. Man, kids are such, anybody ever work with kids? You don't have your own, but you work with kids, whether it be here at church or maybe in like, how many of you guys just detest kids? Don't raise your hand, because you were one at one point, right? Man, I love kids, man. Having your own kids, amazing, right? Man, you realize very quickly that they can be an absolute blessing, and man, they're just fun to be around, but they can also get on your nerves and annoy you, right? Yeah, well, I just had the opportunity, man. I personally think I have two of the cutest nephews ever. If you haven't met them, they go to church here. One of them, his name is Jake. He's the oldest one, cute little guy. And then the other one, Cole, man, loves spending time with. Jake is at that age now. Matter of fact, we just got done with a trip, 2.5 weeks in a 15-passenger van with 10 of us. And man, it was awesome. But there were moments where I'm just like, I am so thankful my kids are older, right? I appreciate every season that the ages of my children, but it's fun. They're really fun. They're at that age though where they're fun, and then when they start to get annoying, it's like, go back to mom and dad, right? Love it. They're like a little toy, right? You get to play with for a little while. I'm done with that one, you know? Smells for some reason. You need to take care of that. But Jake, you know, he's at that really cute age where you could say something and every response is, why? Right? Like you can say, hey, man, Jake, look, the sky is blue. Why? Because it's not red. Why? Because God made it that way. Why? Because he doesn't like you. Shut up. You know, I don't know. Right? You just run out of responses after a while. It's like, stop it. You know? But you know what? There's something about like humanity. It's just the way we're built. And you see it coming out at such a young age. We just want to know why. We want to know why it's this way. We want to know why that's happened. We want to know why. Here's the thing. Covenants begins to reveal the why behind all of Scripture. Covenants really, from the onset, answers that question, why? Now, of course, because of humanity, God lays everything out perfect. I mean, if you read Genesis 1, the whole entire chapter, God creates something, and then he stamps this with his own approval. It's good. Literally, read it. Like, he creates something, and he just has to express it real quick. Hey, it's good. Now, you know if God's saying it's good, it is good, right? And then he gets like to the very end when he creates, you know, Adam and Eve, man, and he didn't say it's good. He said, man, it is very good. I mean, this thing is wow, right? And I mean, he couldn't have laid it out more perfect and he couldn't have, you know, created it more spectacular, but still there's something inside of us that still asks the question, why, right? And the crazy thing is as parents and maybe teachers or you work with kids, you finally get to that point, you know, where you can't answer. And so you finally just say, because I said so. Right? Like you just, like after 5 minutes, you're just like, I'm done. Because I said so. And they kind of look at you because you kind of say it a little abruptly. They're stunned for a minute. They look at you and then they say, why? Right? And here's the great thing about God. God is so good and so loving and so compassionate. And he's really the only one that can actually said, because I said so. But he doesn't do it. Instead, he just keeps providing covenant after covenant after covenant until we get to the man, Jesus Christ, in the new covenant, where he just keeps answering the questions why. In his long suffering, the Bible says. In his patience. He just works with us and he keeps. But if you understand covenants, you begin to understand a little bit more about the why. You can't really understand the New Testament without understanding the Old Testament. You can't understand the new covenant that we'll get into at the end of summer without understanding what we're going to talk today. So I want you to lean in and I want you to hear this today, because I believe as you begin to grasp this, I'm telling you, Scripture is going to begin to make more sense. God's love for you is going to begin to make more sense. God's grace towards you is going to begin to make more sense. And not only that, your circumstance and your situation and why it seems like maybe there's some chaos in your life right now is going to begin to make more sense as you begin to understand this morning. Right from the get-go, God begins to reveal his very heart, his very intent, and his very purpose. Not only what he himself is binding himself to, but what he is asking us to do. Are you with me this morning? Let me just give them to you real quick, and then we'll go back. If you're a note taker, you just write these down. If you haven't downloaded our app yet, do that. You can text the word app to 858-943-2221, and the notes are laid out there for some fill-in-the-blanks. But for those fill-in-the-blanks person, let me just give these to you real quick, then we'll go back to one. Number one, God reveals himself as the first and the focus. God reveals himself as the first and the focus. Number two, what we see through the Edenic covenant is God reveals he is a God of order. God reveals that he is a God of order. Number three, through the Edenic covenant, we begin to see God's heart towards us right away, and that God reveals his intention for humanity. That we'd be fruitful, multiply, fill the whole earth. I love what it says in that verse 26. It says, then God blessed man. That word blessed, man, let me just give it to you and I'll give you the rest here in just a minute. The word blessed, I love this. It means to do good for, to favor, to endow, to bestow prosperity or happiness. Come on, how many of you guys want prosperity and happiness in your life? Seven of you. How many of you guys want doom and gloom and poverty? Nobody. All right. How many of you guys aren't listening? You know, I have no idea what I'm talking about. All right. Great. Listen to this. Now remember what he pronounces over Adam and Eve is universal, meaning it impacts us. This isn't just towards Adam and Eve. This is towards that. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to be happy. He wants to put favor and honor, and he wants to exalt us. That's what the word blessed means. Think about that. The God of the universe wants to honor you, wants to exalt you, wants you to be prosperous, wants you to be happy, wants you to have a good life and an abundant life. That's verse 26, 26 verses into the Bible. God reveals his heart towards humanity. Number four, what the Edenic covenant shows us, that God reveals that he provides everything we need. Everything. I mean, from verse 4 all the way to verse 25, everything that he puts on the earth, he does it there to sustain Adam and Eve. That's the purpose it serves, to sustain humanity. It's a powerful thought. And then number five, what the Edenic covenant shows us, God reveals that his covenant is contingent on obedience. Every covenant that we're going to cover, even the new covenant, is contingent on one thing, obedience. Here's the life I have for you. Man, it's a blessed one. There is favor, there's prosperity. Man, it's gonna get better and better and better and better. There's just one thing. Don't eat from that tree. It's contingent. It's not about the tree. It's about the obedience that God's looking for from our heart. Let's go back to number one. Number one. What we see from the Edenic covenant, we see that God reveals himself as the first and the focus. From the very first two verses in Scripture, then, or in the beginning, God. Who's the focus? God. Who's the first? God. He was before creation, and he's over all creation. Nothing exists without him. In other words, right from the get-go, he is literally announcing himself saying, hey, guys, this is gonna be good, but remember, I'm the focus. Keep your eyes here. Keep your eyes centered on me. He reveals that he's the first and he's the focus. And then he says this, and I love this. I don't know why it necessarily goes into this, but it reveals something about the very heart and nature of God from the get-go. He says, hey, in the beginning, I am there. And here's what I created this, and listen to what he says. And there's different, takes and theology on why this is. Join the covenants class, you'll get a deeper picture. And yet what he created, the Bible says there's darkness, and the waters, and it paints a picture of chaos, right? God created it, there it is. Wait, what's going on down here? Something's happening here that doesn't look so good yet, right? I love this next verse. But the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over all of it, right? Which reveals something very quickly, just a couple of verses in, about the heart and the nature of the God that wants a relationship with you. That you might find yourself in chaotic seasons and chaotic moments. You might find yourself in moments of uncertainty where things aren't making sense. You might find yourself in places of confusion mentally, or maybe just stuff isn't working out, stuff isn't happening the way you thought it was gonna happen. Guess what? That is not the moment where God is missing. That is the moment where God is hovering over your chaotic circumstance, over your chaotic situation, over what looks formless, over what looks void, over what looks like has no purpose. Listen, God has not left you. He has not forsaken you. He has not abandoned you. Read the first two verses of the Bible and know that he is hovering right now over your circumstance and over your situation, and he's got it, and you don't have anything to worry about. That's what it reveals right from the get-go. That he is there, and he wants to speak something into that. He wants to say, well, we see this now even come true in the new covenant. Remember, the old covenant and everything leading up is now pointing to the new covenant. Check this out. The new covenant parallel of this thought in John 1:1-3. It says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W. It's not talking about just writings on a paper. It's talking about the man Jesus Christ. And it says, hey, in the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus, and the Word was with God. So he was there when all this was taking place. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. If you go fast forward, I think it's like John 1:14, it says, and the word became flesh, that's Jesus, and dwelt amongst us. And so here it's talking about Jesus. And so Jesus, here he is. He was in the beginning. He saw everything chaotic. He saw everything formless and void of content. He was with God in the beginning. Listen, all things were created through him. And apart from him, not one thing was created that was created. What is Jesus doing? He's coming on the scene and he's reestablishing the fact that, hey, guys, don't forget, I'm the first and I'm the focus. I'm the first and I'm the focus. Get your eyes off of you. Get your eyes off the chaotic situations. Get your eyes off that stuff. Get your eyes back on me. He comes to even Jesus, when he walked the earth, what did he say? Hey, I only do that which I see and hear the Father do. Yep. What does Jesus do? He points it right back to God the Father, yep, reminding everybody that he's the first and he's the focus. You don't got it yet? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Why did he give his son? Because God looked down and said, it is chaotic. There is chaos on the earth right now. Everybody's living according to their own desire, their own impulse, their own will. I mean, everything in society, it's about my rights. It's about what feels good, seems good, looks good. And if you don't have tolerance, are you with me this morning? God of the universe looked down and said, you know what? There's the chaos again. It's time to insert myself into that and bring order. I got to get their focus back on me. So God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in who? Him. He's the focus. Should not perish but have everlasting life. Look at John 14:6. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is powerful. Jesus is the focus. He is the way, the truth, the life. That's why the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our, man, we got to look to him. See it. First two verses of the Bible. In the beginning, God. Hey, I'm the focus. I'm the first. I'm the focus. Jesus comes on the scene in the New Testament. He doesn't start something new. He reestablishes the very intent of God from the beginning and says, hey, I'm the first and I'm the focus. It's about me. And if you get your eyes on, listen to me. Can I tell you something? Life is so much better when you're focused on Jesus. Church is so much better when you're focused on Jesus. Relationships are so much better when you're focused on Jesus. Listen, I don't know how it works. I don't know how it happens. But when you get your eyes off of other people and you get your eyes off of circumstances and you get your eyes on Jesus, I don't know how it works, but somehow things seem to begin to work out, don't they? The problem is when we get our eyes off of him. The problem is when we get our eyes off of him and put our eyes on circumstance, situations, other people. Then maybe all of a sudden what happens is we begin to see that people, man, they got issues. Right? Because when our eyes are off of God, for some reason, our eyes don't go here. When our eyes are off God, we begin to see how jacked up everybody else is. Man, my husband, oh. Man, my wife, my children, my pastor, my church, my job, my employer, that person driving in the lane, they shouldn't be driving next to me like that. Man, am I speaking truth right now? You get your eyes off God. Listen to him. When your eyes are on him. There was a story, I believe we shared it here, but there's a story I shared not too long ago about a guy that comes to church. He's checking this thing out. He comes in and he sits through worship, sits through the word, hangs out in the lobby for a little while, and then immediately finds the pastor. Comes up to the pastor and says, hey, pastor, my first time in church. Pastor's like, oh, awesome, welcome. He goes, yeah, I won't be back. Why not? Well, I mean, I was here and I can't believe this church is full of hypocrites. Yes? Yeah, I mean, I was checking out the lobby. You know what I saw? I saw a couple of people that were at the club I was at last night. Getting down. Matter of fact, some of them weren't attending the club. Some of them were working the club. Pastor's just listening. And then I went over here and I heard another conversation going on. They were gossiping about somebody. And then I walked a little further and I tried to insert myself in a conversation, but they were talking about how your word wasn't deep enough and didn't take them far enough and... I was like, okay. Yeah, I can't come back to this place. Pastor says, hey, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to come back. I don't want you to come for 6 weeks. But here's what I want you to do. He grabs a cup, fills it up with water to the top. So I want you to take this cup. Every Sunday, I want you to bring it. I don't want a drop of that water to spill. Okay? Can you do that? Sure. Takes that cup, comes back week one. Sits down. Week two, same thing. Week three, 6 weeks go by. Seventh week, the guy comes walking in without the cup. Pastor's like, hey, how you doing? I'm doing all right. Hey, tell me, what'd you notice in the church the last 6 weeks? Well, what do you mean? Well, what did you see? Well, nothing. Well, why not? Well, I was just so focused on not spilling any water in that cup that I couldn't hear anything that was going on. Pastor looks at him and goes, that needs to be your focus when you focus on God. You focus on God, you won't know what's going on. And God will bring it all right back here and he'll say, hey, you got something going on in your heart. Can I just take it a step further? Some people are going to hate me for this one. I really believe one of the greatest ways we focus on God outside of worship that we do, not just on Sunday morning, reading the scripture, but is inserting ourselves into serving the God we love. Because when you insert yourself into serving and you come on a Sunday morning and man, you're going at it and you're serving along other people, it's really hard to see. Are you with me? Some of the other stuff. Because you're inserted, you're carrying the cup. You know what some of you need to do? Some of you need to carry the cup and be reminded that the focus is him. He reminds us right here that he's the first and he's the focus. Number two, God reveals he is a God of order. See, God's not just hovering over the chaos. He's not just hovering over the stuff that's happening in Genesis 1 and 2 as he looks down on the earth. What you got to understand is that what everything God does in the Edenic covenant in the natural is what Christ does in our life in the spiritual. And God looks down and he sees the chaos and he sees the darkness, but he doesn't just hover over it. He is a God that wants to be absolutely and intimately involved in your life and in your world. And he inserts himself into the equation. And he looks down at that thing and he speaks the very first words we know God to speak. And that is, let there be light. And there was light. Boom. And in that moment, we see the heart and the nature of God once again towards humanity. And that is, he does not want us walking around in darkness. He does not want us walking around in uncertainty. He does not want us just a God from afar. And God, can you see the chaos we're in and the circumstance that I'm facing and the situation? And I don't know how. No, God says, oh, I see it. And I'm going to insert myself into it. And I'm going to bring clarity. And I'm going to bring light. And I'm going to bring what you need to see. Listen to me. God doesn't always take away the darkness. See, a lot of us, when we pray because we're lacking peace and we're lacking uncertainty. And so we say, God, can you remove the circumstance and the situation from me? I love that song we're singing earlier this morning. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. You know what? He doesn't always make the darkness leave. Sometimes what he does is he just reminds you, hey, I got the darkness handled. I got the circumstance handled. I got the situation handled. Listen to me, because this is the misconception. Listen, I was at a coffee shop right before church, and there was this thing hanging on, and I think it was announcing something for yoga, and it says, there will be no peace in the world until there is peace within. And you know what? That statement is so true. But you're not going to find it through yoga. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but let the peace of God, which surpasses all human comprehension, meaning we can't understand it, we can't figure it out, we can't wrap our minds around it, but let the peace of God that surpasses all human comprehension guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Peace does not come because everything is working out the way you thought it should work out. Peace does not come because, oh, all the puzzle pieces are in place. Peace comes in the middle of chaos, in the middle of uncertainty, because we have a God that comes and puts it inside of us. Although we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear any evil. Why? Because he's with us, meaning you're going to walk through valleys. You're going to walk through darkness. You're going to walk through some evil moments, but you can have peace in the middle of it because he's come. He's guarding our hearts. Listen, man, when the light comes, man, the light chases away darkness, but you know what else the light also does? The light, listen to me, man, it's not like dark. If I turn those lights off, boom, darkness is here. You just can't see it no more because the light's shining. He says, let there be light. The light's shining. Light makes it so you can't see the dark, but it also exposes the things that were in the dark that you couldn't see before. The older I get, the more times I need to use the restroom in the night. I don't really know what the biological reasons are for that, but... And you know what? One of the worst things is getting up and you can't see and you walk into the corner of the bed. I hit my shin on it. For you, you probably hit your knee because I'm tall and you're not. Oh, man, it hurts so bad. You think you know where you're going and bam. It's the worst feeling in the world, right? God knows that. He doesn't want you walking around in the dark. He wants to expose those things so that you can see them, so that you can avoid them. Jesus does the same thing. We'll wrap it up here because I already gave you the blanks for the rest of it. Go read the verses. They're good. Jesus does the same thing in the New Covenant. He doesn't come to do something different. He comes to renew what God had already spoke. John chapter 8, verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. And God said, let there be light. And Jesus showed up and said, I'm that light. Anyone who follows me won't walk in darkness anymore. Comes and he continues with the same thought found in Genesis 1:2. Says, I'm that light that was talked about. You follow me, you won't walk in darkness. John 1:4-5, and life was in him. That's Jesus, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. Listen to it now, yet the darkness did not overcome it. It's Jesus on the scene. I got light for you. Follow me, Ephesians 5:13. Everything exposed by the light is made clear. For what makes everything clear is light. He's not just hovering over your chaos. He is coming to bring order to your chaos. Listen to me. It's not because he always takes the chaos away. It's because he shines light on it. So now you can avoid the chaotic situations so that you don't bang your shins in the middle of the night as you're trying to get somewhere. Are you with me this morning? God wants to expose those things. He's not always going to take them away. What he's going to do is he's going to bring order. Oh, I see it now. I shouldn't go that direction. I shouldn't do that thing. I shouldn't date that person. I shouldn't make that business decision. Shouldn't spend my money there. There's a good opportunity. And he leads you and he guides you because he is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The light exposes. This is the plan I have for you. It's a pretty awesome one. If you walk with Jesus, man, you're gonna have light. All chaos will try to arise. It'll try to happen. It'll try to get you. All of this is, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you fruitful. I'm going to multiply you. Come on, the church is growing. The church is thriving. The church is subduing. The church is not shrinking. Come on, people are getting saved every day. People are committing their life to Jesus every day. We are being fruitful. We'll multiply. And I'm telling you, man, stick with this thing. Wait till September and everybody gets back to vacation. You're going to be like, where did everybody come from? They've been here. Kingdom of God is growing. It's multiplying. It's subduing. It's moving forward. There are more coming. Are you with me? It's happening. And he wants to bless everyone. He has a plan and a future and a hope for you. And he has a plan and a future for the person sitting next to you. And he has a plan and a future for the one that's coming next week and the week after and the week after and the week after. Just stick with it. Just stick with it. He's the light of the world. He's the light. When the light shines, listen to me. When you've been in dark for a while and that light first comes on. Listen, my wife hates it. I'm an early riser. She wants to sleep in sometimes. I'm a jerk sometimes. I turn on the light. I'm like, babe, wake up. She's like. When that light first comes on, it's like, whoa, what's happening? Everything's a little blurry. Things a little hazy. Seeing spots and double and where am I? But the longer you stay in the longer you stay in the light, the greater the clarity, the more you see, the longer you stay in the light, what happens? Your pupils begin to dilate and begin to change so that now you can grasp everything around you. The longer you stay in Jesus, the longer you stay in the light, man, everything begins to transform and everything begins to change and your lenses begin to adapt and you see how great of a life that he has for you. You just gotta stay in the light. You just gotta keep walking. Keep staying in the light. But it's contingent on one thing. Obedience. Obedience. God says, hey, I've put this one thing. Listen, this is God's heart. And people misunderstand his heart at this moment. He puts the tree there. Not as a place for failure, but because in order for love and relationship to be fulfilled, it had to be contingent on choice. He says, hey, all of this is for you. That one's not. And you have the ability to be trained to choose right and wrong, but you never have the right to choose wrong. You can choose it, but it won't be right. You're a free will being. Here's the plan. Here's the blessings. Choose. And still today, this relationship is contingent on obedience. Finish with this. It's contingent on obedience. New Testament. Jesus doesn't change it. He fulfills it. He says, or it says in Luke 6:46, 40. Now listen to this. Why do you call me Lord and do not do the things I say? That's obedience. Why do you come to church and lift your hands and sing along with the songs and listen to the pastor, but then you walk out and you don't do any of them? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. That's obedience. He is like a man building a house who dug a deep, down deep, and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood came, the river crashed against the house and couldn't shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The river crashed against it and immediately it collapsed. And the destruction of the house was great. Listen to me. The covenantal blessing that God has for you, the incredible plan he has for your life is still contingent on one thing, obedience. You hear the word, you do the word, you walk in the blessings of God, and you're building a strong house and a strong foundation and a firm foundation. Listen to me, it's not my word. It's not my idea. It's not my opinion. It's not my thought. You ask my daughters. I ask them one question twice a day. I ask it when they wake up in the morning. I ask it before they go to bed at night. And I ask them this one question. Did you read your Bible today? Right before they go to bed, last thing I ask them, did you read your Bible today? And that is not because I'm a pastor. It's because I understand something as a father. I understand that these children are a blessing from the Lord, and he's given them to me for a short season. And it is my job as a father to raise up a child in the way they should go, so when they get older, they won't depart from it. And the only way they're gonna build a strong foundation is not through church attendance. It's not by serving their guts out on Sunday morning. It's by getting a hold of this and by living according to this. And when they get a hold of this and living according to this, they will have a strong foundation. So when the chaotic moments of life come and the rivers begin to rage and try to take, they can't take out the foundation because it's built on the word. It's built on obedience. And I trust him enough to believe that he'll never leave me or never forsake me. God, we thank you for your word today. Church, stand to your feet this morning. God, we thank you so much for this covenant. We thank you for the covenant that is not being done away with, but one that we're being brought back to through your son, Jesus, the light of the world. And so I pray this morning that every single person in here, from the youngest to the oldest, would walk out of here with a greater understanding of covenant so they could see you, Jesus, more clearly, know your love more, and live out the incredible plan that you have for each and every one of us. Every eye closed and every head bowed, you're here today, and you're not walking in a relationship with Jesus. You're not walking in a relationship with God. Right now is your opportunity to step back into the covenantal blessings through obedience by surrendering once again your heart and your life to him. Standing right now at the door of your heart saying, I want a relationship with you. I'll speak to the chaos in your life and I'll bring order. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you know that you're outside of the will of God and the blessings of God because you're not walking in obedience to him. His grace is flowing right now. He's saying, son, daughter, come back. Every eye closed, every head bowed. If you are here and you say, man, I'm not walking in obedience, I need to get back into the blessings. I want you to shoot your hand in the air right now. Come on, you know who you are. Come on, hands all over. Come on, you know who you are. Don't let this moment pass you by. Come on, he's calling you back in. That's grace. He's calling you back. Why are there so many covenants in the Bible? Because of grace. He extends the opportunity over and over again. Lord, I thank you for every hand in this place. Lord, I pray that right now, as they raise their hand, it would be a heart decision and a heart choice to step back into a relationship with you, to say yes to the plan and embrace your grace and your goodness. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming today. If you were one of the ones that raised your hand, I'm going to be up here. I'd love to pray for you. Don't let this moment pass you by. Also, if you've never taken the step of obedience by being water baptized, man, you can sign up right now by texting baptism to 858-943-2221.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.